Chapter 3. As soon as I'm on board the ship, Bernie Kosar steps in front of me. His tail droops between his legs, and he stretches his front paws out, arching his spine low, his head down. It's like he's bowing to me or expecting me to swat him with a rolled-up newspaper. From deep in his belly, he lets out a low, mournful howl. It takes me a second to realize why he's doing this. Back in Chicago, the last time I saw Sarah, I'd sent BK with her. I told BK to keep her safe. "Oh, God, BK, it's not your fault," I say to him telepathically. I kneel down, put my arm around his furry neck, and hug him close. BK slobbers wetly against my cheek and whines. Tears string the corners of my eyes, the first ones that have come since I heard Sarah's fading voice piped over my satellite phone. The tears aren't for me. For Six. Now, BK, the guilt they're feeling, it wrecks me. Sarah was their friend, too. They're feeling this loss just like I am, and it's compounded by the fact that they both think they let me down, that I'm going to blame them. I should have spoken to Six, should have said something more, but I just couldn't find the right words. I should have told her that there are only two people I hold responsible for what happened to Sarah: Cetricus Ra and myself. I've never been good at expressing those kinds of feelings, talking about myself, my fears and weaknesses. Really, there's only one person I've ever felt truly comfortable opening up to about that stuff. Sarah. I stand up, walk farther into the ship and see her. In the ship's dim lighting, stretched out on a cot, a sheet pulled up to her chin. She could be sleeping. Her blonde hair is fanned out on the pillow beneath her. Her skin is pale. So pale. The color drained from her lips. I walk forward feeling like I'm in a dream. Mark James is here too, sitting next to Sarah's bed. He stands up when I walk forward, and I'm vaguely aware of a murderous look on his face. For a second, I think he might get in my way. Looking at me, he must think better of it, because he steps aside in a hurry. The anger in his eyes is replaced by curiosity, like I'm some strange animal, or like I'm an alien, capable of things he can't possibly understand. He doesn't say anything when I kneel down next to Sarah. I pull the sheet back from her body, and it sticks to her side where the blood from her wounds is dried. She's all torn up. I feel like I should cry or scream, but all I feel is empty. And then my hands reach forward, unthinking, acting on some combination of instinct and desperation. I press down on her wounds, her skin cold beneath my fingertips, and let my healing energy flow into her. When Sarah and Ella were riddled with blaster fire at Dulcie Base, I managed to heal them. They were close to death, and I pulled them back. Maybe there is still hope now. My hands heat up. They glow. Sarah's pale skin is suddenly tinged pink, and my heart skips a beat. It's a trick of the light. My legacy isn't working. There's no spark in Sarah left to rekindle. I let the power seep away. Now that I've seen Sarah's wounds firsthand, the horrific visions that haunted me during the hours I'd waited are gone. It's become reality. With shaking hands, I cover Sarah's body with the sheet. The morbid details aren't what I find myself focusing on. They aren't what will stick with me. It's her face, tinted blue in the muted light. She doesn't look like she's in any pain. There are no lines creasing the skin, and her eyes are closed. Sarah's lips are forever pursed into an almost curious smile. I lean down and gently kiss that smile, not surprised by how cold her lips are. Then I put my head down, rested on her chest. It probably looks like I'm listening for a heartbeat, but I'm just saying goodbye. I don't cry. She wouldn't want me to do that. But the insomnia I was feeling before, it's gone now. I feel like I could finally rest right here with Sarah.
Is that it?
Mark, I'd completely forgotten he was in the room with me. I lift my head and turn around slowly, without standing up. Mark's head is cocked. He stares at me, his fists clenching and unclenching. What? I ask, surprised by how tired I sound.
I said, is that it?
He repeats, the words harsher now.
Is that all you're going to do?
There's nothing else I can do, Mark, I reply with a sigh. She's gone.
You can't bring back the dead?
No, I'm not a god. Mark shakes his head like he expected that answer and is disappointed all the same.
Shit,
he says to himself, then looks me right in the eye.
What the hell are you good for?
I'm not going to do this with him. Not here. Not ever. I stand up slowly, take one last look at Sarah, and walk wordlessly towards the ship's exit ramp. Mark gets in my way.
I asked you a question, he says.
For a moment, his tone brings me back to Paradise High. I know this isn't the same jock who tormented me and Sam. Now he's got a wild and haunted look in his eyes, unkempt hair and filthy clothes that would have embarrassed the hell out of the old Mark James. But he's still a master of that alpha male voice. It makes him seem bigger than he is in reality. Mark, I say warningly.
You don't get to just walk away from this, he replies.
Get out of my way. He shoves me. The contact actually surprises me and causes me to stumble back a few steps. I stare at him. You're angry. You're hurting, I say to Mark, keeping my voice measured, even though I want to scream at him. Like I'm not feeling the same way. Like I don't want to punch through a wall. But this? Us? Fighting for no reason? That's not happening.
Oh, spare me your bigger man routine, John, Mark says. I was there when she died. Me! Not you. She spent her final moments on the goddamn phone with you, giving you a pep talk. You! The guy who got her killed!
It stings to hear Mark say what I'd already been thinking. We were in love, I tell him. Mark rolls his eyes at me.
Maybe. Maybe you really were. But come on. Mysterious new kid rolls into the small town and, oh, he's got superpowers. And, oh, he's trying to save the world. What girl wouldn't fall for that shit, huh? Hell, look at me standing here. Look at dumbass Sam Good. We all got sucked into your vortex of suffering.
She didn't fall for anything. I didn't trick her. My words are sharper now. He's starting to get under my skin. We were in love before she even knew about me and what I am.
But you knew,
Mark yells, taking a step towards me.
You always knew what it meant to be around you, and you went for her anyway. And all those towns you traveled to before paradise, how many other girls were there?
I shake my head, losing the thread of what Mark's trying to prove. There weren't.
Exactly! You kept it in your pants because you knew that being around you is a death sentence. Until Sarah. You just couldn't leave her alone. You got selfish, or lonely, or whatever. And you got her killed. She'd be alive and happy if you had just gone to another town, John. Yeah, this whole invasion would still be happening. But I got a feeling the Mogadorian warships are a long way from paradise. Without you, without your needy bullshit, she at least would have had a chance.
I don't know how to respond. Part of what Mark's saying is true, but it ignores so much of what Sarah and I shared. Maybe it was selfish of me to involve her, except that every time I pushed her away, she would come back. She made her own decisions. She was strong and made me stronger. And she was the first person on Earth who made it feel like I actually had a chance at a normal life. Like there was something more than just endless running and fighting. Sarah gave me hope. But I don't have the words to explain that to Mark. And I don't even want to. I don't need to defend myself. You're right, I say coldly, hoping that's enough to end this.
I'm right?
Mark asks incredulously, eyes widening.
You think that's what I want to hear?
I sigh. Mark, the truth is, I don't care what you want. I never have. He hits me then. I see the punch coming a mile away, but I don't bother defending myself. It's a short uppercut that catches me right in the stomach and causes me to suck in a sharp breath. It's not the first time that Mark has punched me, and he hits hard. Maybe a little harder than I remember. But I've taken a lot of shots over the last few months, ones harder than Mark could begin to imagine. And this one, I barely feel. When I don't react to the first punch, Mark tries another. His heart isn't in it, though. He throws a haymaker at my head, but seems to change his mind at the last moment, and his fist simply glances off the corner of my jaw. The force of his own punch carries Mark to the side, where he stumbles over one of the empty cots, landing in an awkward sitting position. He stays there, staring at the floor, and takes deep, heaving breaths. I can tell he's trying not to cry. Do you feel better? I ask, rubbing the middle of my chest.
No,
he replies.
No, I don't.
What about when we end this war and destroy every Moog that stands in our way? Will you feel better then? Mark looks up at me, and what I see on his face surprises me. It's pity. I realize what I just said wasn't really a question for him. It's a question for me. I'm a little afraid to find out the answer.
That won't bring her back,
he says. I don't respond. I take one last look at Sarah and walk back towards the ship's exit. In the doorway, I pause and half turn. Will you do something for me? I ask him, my voice low, all the feelings sapped out. Mark works his thumb across his raw knuckles.
What?
I'm going to get our military friends to loan us a vehicle. We're only a few hours away from paradise. Would you... My voice catches, and I brace one hand on the cool metal of the doorway. Would you bring her home? Mark snorts. When he speaks, that bitterness is back in his voice.
Sure, John. I know you're busy, so I'll do the hard part for you. Should I tell her mom you say hi?
I close my eyes, take a deep breath, and let it go. Thank you, Mark, I say without feeling. And then I'm leaving him and Sarah's body behind. I stride down the ship's ramp and across the lawn, heading back to the unimposing cabin that currently hides humanity's best hope for survival. The sun is coming up, a bright orange slash on the horizon, heating the cool blue of the lake. I think of Sarah's pale face, her icy lips, and then I remember how the sun would filter through her blonde hair, and she would have turned to me during a moment like this and squeezed my hand in that way of hers, and we would have shared it together. I put the memories away, bury them down somewhere deep. I head inside the cabin with one purpose and one purpose only. I used to think there could be more for me than running and fighting. Now all that's left is killing.